This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't typically get into this Yankee fan, Met fan thing. I'll do it on Twitter sometimes, but I have to admit, I was annoyed. And again, I'll be totally honest with you. I try to be as honest as I can. I was embarrassed leaving Yankee Stadium Sunday night listening to the Yankee fans scream F Juan Soto as we were leaving the building. I was embarrassed. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was absolutely stupid. I had no problem with booing. I had no problem with the bleachers turning their back on him. I thought that was all within bounds and actually fun and fair. And I thought Juan Soto handled it great on Friday. And you could just feel it wore on him by Sunday. It wore on him by Sunday. He doesn't want to do the interview. He doesn't want to talk to the media after the game. It just wore on him. And again, I saw videos last night against the Texas Rangers, which I hate. I hate it. I hate when it's Altuve, unless Altuve is in the building. Even then, I don't like the Altuve stuff, but at least I can understand it. I hate it when they're playing someone else and I hear an Altuve chant start, but I guess that's over. We have a new F somebody, and it's F Juan Soto. And again, there are videos of the Yankee fans getting into it last night against the Texas Rangers. It's just stupid. I hate it. I hate the Rangers doing Potvin sucks when they're playing someone else. I think it's dumb. You want to do it when they play the Islanders? Fine. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And it makes the Yankee fan look small and petty and dumb. That's what it makes it feel like to me. But I have to admit, I'm seeing KFC from Barstool, obviously Tommy doing his thing in the afternoon today. All like the idea that this is all driven and drummed up by Yankee fans who are desperate to prove that Juan Soto was a better Yankee than a Met and who, you know, the Yankees are better off without him and what a terrible contract and the Mets are screwed for forever and how embarrassing. And like this is all made up by the New York Yankee fan. Like it actually drives me nuts. What is made up by the New York Yankee fan exactly? Like, they put out a video about the Subway Series, and every Met fan is all over it going, oh, how embarrassing. Please. No one's making up anything. The New York Yankee fan is not manifesting what's going on with Juan Soto. It is clear to anyone watching the games, clear, that his body language sucks. Yankee fans aren't making that up. Yankee fans aren't, you know, manifesting that. The Yankee fans aren't, oh, who's starting this narrative that he's not happy? I don't know. Anyone who watches the games. Anyone who watches the games. And I saw this big thing from Pedro Martinez about, hey, you don't understand the human side of this and it's not easy to go through. But we can make all the excuses in the world and they're probably all right. It is. I don't think anyone's denying the idea that this is probably a human element kind of thing, and he's just dealing with something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's. I'm not saying it's because he misses the Yankees or because he's miserable with the Mets. So it just maybe it's a new thing for him, a new transition. The idea, I talked about this yesterday, the idea that it's a finality thing, that the last couple of years he always had it on his head, on his mind, that he was going to pick the team he wanted to pick, and he was waiting for free agency, and now it's over. Maybe he really was really looking forward to the idea of being wined and dined and picking a franchise and trying to make this enormous contract, whether it's just about the money or the prestige or the having this large contract that would be on the books, and he's the top of the food chain as far as Major League Baseball players go, and this amazing contract that Scott Boras was telling me he was going to get. He was looking forward to it, and now it's over. And now, whether it's the Mets, or it would have been the Yankees, or the San Diego Padres, or the Chicago Cubs, or the Tampa Bay Rays, I have no idea. Whoever it was going to be, maybe there's some sort of finality to it. And he's like, well, now I'm here for 15 years. I better make this work. Like, maybe there's just something to that. Or maybe it's just coming to grips with whatever he's coming to grips with. I have no idea. But I am really getting annoyed at the idea that the Yankee fans are manifesting this thing. Or that, WFAN is nothing but clickbait, blah, blah, blah. What happened to the station? What happened to the station? What should we do? Ignore what we're looking at? Ignore the obvious? Drives me absolutely nuts. Like, it's not happening. That we're all he's having a miserable start to the year, and more than that, he looks morose. He does. No one's making it up. He does. We talked about it, like, I've heard people compare it to Lindor. We talked about it when Lindor was going through it. He's giving the fans, he's giving the thumbs down. He's kind of unhappy being a Met, or he's unhappy with the pressure that comes along with the Mets, or whatever else. Like, we talked about it. Should we ignore it? No one's trying to say the Mets made a terrible decision. No one's trying to say anything other than right now, for whatever reason, and we all expect it to change because he's too damn good. But right now, something's going on with Juan Soto. And now it feels like, and it's only a couple of games, and they might break out for 10 runs tomorrow, later today. And I promise you, I'm rooting for it. But it feels like coming off the Subway Series, heading into the Subway Series, they played a lackluster game against the Pirates. That last game of they took the first two games of the series against the Pirates. They had the Subway Series on their mind. They went through the motions in that last Pittsburgh game. Soto gets the day off, looking forward to the Yankee series. They get beat in the Subway Series. Pete Alonso throws the ball away. They didn't play particularly well. The one game they won was a close nail biter. The Yankees kind of pulled away late in both of the other games. Like, I don't know. And then the conversation around Juan Soto. It feels like it's got a little bit of a cloud over this team, and it followed them to Boston. And the offensive struggles continue, and for the first time in a while, it feels like the pitching staff hasn't been there dominant enough, although they only give up two runs in this game, and Clay Holmes yet again gives you another great start outside of two solo home runs. And it just wasn't enough to overcome the offense's ineptitude of runners in scoring position. And he's supposed to be a guy who get you through all this. But, like, I got to admit, normally I don't let this Yankee fan, Met fan thing, like, get me all annoyed. But the idea of the Yankee fans and then the station is making this stuff up. Like, we're making it up. It's clear as day, anyone who watched him last year and anyone who's watching him now. Now, his numbers, has he given you numbers just like this in San Diego? Sure. Right? I mean, he last year was the best year of his career. Fair. And I didn't watch him every day in San Diego, and there were some issues. I remember particularly a post-game interview that he gave. And they were like, he's like, what's going on with the offense, whatever? And he pretty much said, I don't know, ask my teammates. Like, okay, we don't know. But I can go back to his World Series appearance and watch the Soto shuffle. Something's up with him. And no one's making it up, and it's not a Yankee fan-driven narrative. It's right there in front of all our faces. You want to deny it and hide behind it's the other fan base in town that is pathetic and sad? Go try and do it. Good luck. Close your eyes, stick your head in the sand, and blame the Yankee fan. Go ahead. It's ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Get it, finally, World Series parade. Yes, the Yankees win the World Series. I've been waiting for a parade. A 5-hour KM to AM is going to be a parade type vibe tonight. The Yankees are off. The Mets are on my screen right now. They better pick it up. I need them to smack the Boston Red Sox. I'm not rooting for the Red Sox over the Mets. It's 2-0. Pick it up, Juan. Oh, boy. I was on Friday night after game one, and obviously we had the Knicks. And then Saturday, no Knicks game, and the Mets won. I went to the game Friday, went to the game Saturday, and then I did a show yesterday from 1 to 6:30, and I've exhausted the Juan Soto conversation we all have, but you know what? We got some new stuff today. Yes. I didn't want to say the same things over and over again. And shout out to Loogie for queuing me right up. Congratulations, Yankees fans. We won the World Series, right? After just being in the last one. Like, the audacity of a Met fan to call this our World Series after we just hosted one in New York. I was at the games. What are you talking about? And shout out to Loogie. Loogie, you got the Knicks off. I gave you a ton of credit. Loogie can hear me. He's in the newsroom. I just saw him. He's out there. Loogie, you my man, because you called that Knicks in six. I gave you credit because no one in sports had that. And I listened to a lot of TV, podcasts, radio. The only one that said it with their chest was Thomas Lugauer. But as far as this stuff goes, pipe down. Bro, you talked about putting a statue up for Juan Soto outside of City Field. No. You told us that Max Fried wasn't going to be better than Clay Holmes. Did y'all see Max Fried abuse Juan Soto last night? I was like, oh my, this is wrong. He's had enough. If you're a Yankee fan, dial 888-808-1019. I know some Mets fans going to hate me today, and I'm ready for it. I'm prepared for it. I bring balance to the force. This is the Yankees Radio Network. You need to talk to a Yankee fan who's in the bleachers, in the stands. Talk to a Yankee fan that was there before I was at WFAN, before Juan Soto, before all this, and I'll be there after. I talk to more Yankee fans on a daily, weekly basis than anybody on the station. I think I have the pulse of the Yankees universe. Do I represent all Yankee fans? Hell no. One voice can never represent all Yankee fans. There's too many of us. Too many different thoughts and emotions and feelings. And all respect to Tiki Barber, but Tiki Barber's call for turning your back's on Juan Soto, that's not what inspired the bleacher creatures. If anybody could tell you, I think I could tell you. And I'm sure there are some creatures that listen to WFAN, listen to Evan and Tiki. But in my conversations about what was going on, nobody mentioned what Tiki said. And again, respect to the legend Tiki Barber, but he talked about, hey, when Juan Soto comes up to bat, turn your back. We didn't do it when he came up to bat. We booed his ass. You said, don't boo. Don't show any indifference. What are you talking? The whole game, all three games, he heard it. He couldn't stomach it. He couldn't face it. I saw it with my own eyes. I actually started to feel bad. I'm like, wow, we are neutralizing this man. So much so, he's the last guy out of the dugout. So much so, he's warming up in shallow right field. He doesn't want to get too close to the warning track. Yeah, Friday it was tip your cap. Oh, this is cute. But I didn't look at that tip your cap as like Juan Soto, like, do it. I think he was just frozen in the moment. He was talking to Austin Wells. He was looking for some type of comfort. And then all of this new stuff comes out, right? When the bleacher creatures turn their backs, and shout out to Mark, who leads the roll call and lost his voice by the time Saturday, because we were wearing Juan Soto's ass out. That was for a picture. I sent multiple text messages to people in the media, TV, people that write, like, hey, when Juan Soto reclaims his spot in right field where he used to be, where he used to skip across that line and the whole right side of the stadium would stand up. You'd see Dominican flags. You'd see people with 22 jerseys, everybody applauding. He'd put his two fingers up in the air or his two hands up in the air and he'd get everybody going. He would get the Juan Soto, the loudest roll call, louder than the captain, Aaron Judge, and he would turn around and give us the X, and everybody would do the X. That is done. He is the X now. And he's not the X that you guys want to paint him as. We're not bitter. We're not coping. We're not brokenhearted anymore. The Met fan has the broken heart. Because like I played on my intro, you have a superhuman. You have a cyborg that you expected to do something for you, that you expected to save the day, to hit three homers. And Yankee Stadium was his kryptonite. 888-808-1019. We look at it more like, you ever date somebody for a year and hope that they're the one, hope that it's long-term, go above and beyond, do something for them that you might not have done so quick in other relationships with the hope that this thing has some legs, that this could be it? That's how we treated Juan Soto. And Juan Soto was the person in that relationship who took all of that and then said, I got eyes for someone else. You're not good enough. Yeah. I see what you're doing and all that, but I don't want to be with you. I got eyes on something else, someone else. I think there's greener pastures over there. Okay, you go. You go. But now you're dead to us, to quote Tiki Barber. You're dead to me. Now we look at you as, yo, we went above and beyond for you. Re-sign Soto. Re-sign Soto. Blank checks in the outfield. The guy was boo-proof. Never seen anybody be boo-proof. How many times have I said in the last couple weeks, I've seen Hal Steinbrenner walk out on that field and be booed. Aaron Judge has been booed multiple times when I'm in there. I don't boo the Yankees, but I'll damn sure boo the Mets, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays. And like, I heard Loogie talking. I'm like, that's where you're wrong, bro. Anybody he picked outside the Yankees, he was getting that smoke. Anybody. I preferred he'd pick the Red Sox. He didn't. Because I didn't want this echo chamber in New York of Mets fans, Yankee fans, back and forth, moving the goalposts. Oh, we swept you guys in the World Series, or we swept you guys in the Subway Series last year. Now it's our World Series? It meant more to you guys. Yeah, I told you the Yankees are going to play up. Duh. It's a three-game set, not a two-game set. It's on the weekend now. And Juan Soto being this villain, gave it juice that we haven't seen. And then what does the Met fan say online? Some Met fans, oh, well, you're welcome. Sold your place out. Juan Soto sold all the tickets. The Subway Series is always packed. They always sell out. But that environment that the Yankee fan created dominated Juan Soto. One hit, 1 for 10. Worked his walks, yeah. But you could tell he was rattled. And the new stuff that we got, right? I was on last night leading up to Sunday Night Baseball. I gave him props. I said, you know what? This Juan Soto isn't fazed by this because he's going to put the mic on Sunday Night Baseball. I'm like, I literally said to Paulie, how strong are these lavalier mics that they put on Juan Soto? Like, what's it going to catch? Because I was just in the bleachers. You're going to hear some stuff that I can't repeat from the bleacher creatures that, yeah, staged their back turn for, you know, New York Post to get a picture, for the Yes Network to zoom in, for everybody to see that one thing, and then all we did was boo his ass and chant, we don't need you. You can't field. We've got Judge. We've got Grisham. Wave, oh mama. All types of stuff. So Yankee fans, yeah, celebrate it like it's the World Series, because that's what they don't want you to do, right? Now we got to be classy. Now we got to be big brother. Now we got to act like we've been there. After we heard all this stuff about how the city's under new management and how Juan Soto rather be a Met because of the future we had. See, some Met fans celebrate so prematurely. We got Carlos Correa, 2023 World Series champs. Slow your roll. Even with Juan Soto, still just the Mets. Like Derek Jeter said, that we just look at them like they're just the Mets. 888-808-1019. So I'm just going to set some records straight as somebody who is in it. Yeah, I'm a radio host, but I'm also a fan. Maybe you met me this weekend. Maybe you saw me. I could tell you the real. Juan Soto, we wanted to be a Yankee. Absolutely. But wasn't it poetic how the guys that didn't play with Juan Soto last year shined? Isn't it grand? Cashman! Man, give Cashman some love. Not too much love, because this is not the World Series. But you know how I always say, like, you tip your cap to Cashman a little bit. Not like Juan Soto did, but you tip your cap. You acknowledge, hey, plan B is looking better than plan A. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need. Right? God's greatest gift is prayers unanswered. Cody Bellinger went off. What? Huh. What left hand? We took a left-handed hitter out of the outfield. We put one in. Who was that? That was Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger can play all three outfield positions, and it's in his blood. Since Clay was a Yankee, he's hated the Mets. He turned up. And that's a guy that's played in the World Series, MVP. He's like that in those big moments and situations. Where was Juan? Where was Juan? I bet on him the first night to homer, two homers, and then I stopped betting on him. I'm not betting on this guy to succeed. And he's not. I could see it in his eyes. He was uncomfortable. And you know what? Yankee fans that go to that stadium, we see all the same people. Juan Soto couldn't face us because the same people have season tickets in the same sections. The same people are out there all the time. It's real. He was uncomfortable. Imagine leaving a job. And you leave that job thinking that you're going somewhere to make more money and your career is about to take off. And that place is going to falter. That place is going to stumble. That place is going to miss you. They're going to need you. They're going to be calling you back. They're going to be wishing. And then you take a walk back through your old workplace and it's like completely different from dream to nightmare. These same people that love you hate you now. They're chanting F Juan Soto now. How quickly they turned. And there's so many people that think it's just Juan Soto, the player. No. I've been on record saying, hey, if he was a 240 hitter on this team right now and we didn't have Max Fried, we didn't have Devin Williams, we didn't have Paul Goldschmidt, we would boo his ass too. He'd be getting booed as a $760 million Yankee that's not living up to the contract. But that's what it is. You got offered the largest contract in Yankee history and you poo-pooed it. 888-808-1019, and you wanted to talk about family. And last night they talked about his family getting a private jet. I'm like, oh my, I've been talking all these weeks about mama's clothing allowance, security detail, a suite, Clover Club tickets. There's a private jet for the Supreme Court of Soto. Jeff Passan came out today. He told us that's not real. That's not a real thing. He said to clear up what others have asserted, Juan Soto does not fly separately from his New York Met teammates on a private jet. He flies on the team plane. There's no private jet provision in his contract for him or his family. Okay. I would expect that he flies with the team, his family not so much.
And now what you're hearing, right, Michael Kay came out and said today, hey, and like Michael Kay been in the game for a while, bro. You think Michael Kay is just coming out here saying anything? Michael Kay is saying from people that he talked to, people in the know, Juan Soto wanted to be a Yankee. He wanted to stay a Yankee. But his family wanted him to join the Mets, right? That's all we kept hearing, his family, family. That was the key word during the press conference. That's where I got Supreme Court of Soto from, remember? That's what Scott Boras referred to his clique as, his whole family tree as. Well, you know what a wise man once told me? If you want to make the wrong decision in life, ask everybody. Get everybody's advice. Get everybody in your family's advice on what you should do. They don't go out to right field with you. They don't step in the batter's box. So I guess I was a little bit early. I guess, you know, with Juan Soto, I said, you know, I thought that this guy was uncomfortable. I thought that this guy was clearly missing Aaron Judge. And then what else do we get? We got something new as well. We got, okay, Judge didn't say anything, didn't acknowledge Juan Soto until Sunday. Because, you know, the captain, he's very diplomatic. He is classy. But I guarantee you, Judge does not rock with this guy. But because it was national television and it became a story, Judge went and, you know, talked to him and dapped him up and even talked to him on the base pass. But think about it. Judge had to really go out and prove it and fight for his money. And Judge was all about loyalty, could have taken more money to go home. Judge wasn't even entertaining the Mets. And I know homegrown versus one-year rental. But their philosophies are just different. They're just different kind of guys. Judge is always about the team. Juan Soto wasn't about the team. And it's funny because I said we were going to boo his ass based off the way that he handled himself game five. Turned his hat around, said that he's available to all 30 teams. What about the Bleacher Creatures? What about the fans, Juan? Oh, yeah, well, that should influence management upstairs. Interesting. Well, then, how come reports come out today that not only did Juan Soto duck the mic'd up, shout out to Brandon Nimmo, did a good job. He didn't want to be mic'd up. But after the game, he ducked the smoke. He ducked the media. He ran out. Right? Bob Clappish writes, he's not the same stand-up guy who was always at his locker last season. Even after being skewered on Friday, Soto spoke of the obligation to take it like a man. 2 days later, he was running for the exit. How come Juan didn't want a whole court after Sunday Night Baseball? How come you didn't want all the media in New York's attention? It's the same people. Bob Clappish has been doing this for years. The same reporters, same writers. Yeah, you're feeling some type of way. I'm feeling some type of way too tonight, baby. Let's get into it. Man, shout out to everybody watching on the stream. My bad. I was so hyped. I was muted on the stream, so they couldn't hear me. But listen on the free Odyssey app. During the break, go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We got 5 hours. I got the whole night. I'm not done. I'm loaded. Okay, I'm reloaded. I got more clips. These are my Mets. I know them better than any Mets before. That's why I can diagnose and dissect all of this. Why do we got to ask what's wrong with Juan Soto? Why don't we ask what's wrong with the Mets? Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It turns out Sean happened to be right. We made a prediction on what he was going to do with his first at bat. I said he would strike out on a full count. Didn't quite get to a full count. He walked.
Yeah.
Sean, you were correct.
Thank you. And Cinco almost came close on the four walks. We were close.
Very close.
Yes, very close.
I know you were getting that. Now, Sean, you enjoyed this weekend. We have given a lot of Met perspective over the first hour. I know you enjoyed it because last night we were all at the game. And I brought Jet to the game. And everybody's so nice to my son. And so Sean came out because we weren't sitting next to each other. And he says, "Do you guys need a jacket?" And I was like, what a great guy. He's asking Jet if he needs a jacket. It's starting to get colder. It's 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, nah, man, we're good. Thank you. And what did you say?
I said, I figure Juan Soto's swings and misses were creating such a breeze up here. Maybe it was getting a little too cold.
Mets suck.
So did you enjoy yourself this weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Is this everything you dreamt of?
Mets suck.
Look, and I'm going to tell something right now to all the other Yankee fans like me out there. Don't pretend you didn't enjoy it. Don't pretend that you're too good to have fun at beating the Mets. Don't pretend that beating the Mets doesn't mean a little more than beating the Orioles on a Tuesday. Beating the Mets after everything we endured as Yankee fans, selfishly for the first time in our lives, losing Juan Soto this offseason, 2 out of 3, and having Soto struggle all weekend, that was fun. And that's what baseball's all about. And we basically were kicked on the ground for months from Met fans. For the first time, we had to feel that. And it was good to kick back this
weekend. Mets suck.
And I enjoyed every damn second of it, except for conveniently Saturday.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, by the way, it could not have been Juan Soto swinging and missing that was causing the breeze because he was just standing there looking.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But you know what? It still worked for a good joke.
It was.
You guys having a good time over there?
Oh, I had a great time.
Had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. Hey, look, Met fans, we got to take it. Because in the whole Met-Yankee battle, they won this battle.
Oh, yeah, but one more thing I had. That National League was so difficult we played it this weekend. I got to tell you.
Don't start with me about that. Look, we got to take our L's. Like, that's a part of the world. We have to take our L's this weekend. Now, the Mets will have a chance at revenge on the 4th of July. But for this weekend, show some class, Tommy. We got to take our L's.
Well, I'm classless, number one. Number two, you have to take two L's today, actually. One is coming up because of my basketball team.
Absolutely. And then, I deserve that L. We all do, and I will own it.
Speaking of the Subway Series, number one, you owe our manager, Carlos Mendoza, an apology, and you need to wear an L because you got to walk and pitch around Aaron Judge. Mm. Why? It's a big spot. Throw it right down the middle. He's going to swing and miss.
Did you listen to Carlos's postgame on Saturday?
No.
Okay, should have.
I was on the air. Should I have?
Despite Judge going 0 for 5, Mendy said we gave him way too many pitches to him.
Well, he didn't hit any
of them. And we got lucky.
Right.
Yeah, no, the Mets were aggressive with Aaron Judge. Not as much yesterday.
Well, Peterson.
They pitched around him yesterday.
Peterson four-fingered him, and then...
I love that term, by the way.
That's great.
They four-fingered him.
Right, and then... Who was it, Brazoban?
Let me get my scorebook out, and I'll tell you exactly
who
happened there.
Intentionally walked him.
That would be Waskar Brazoban, after he walked Trent Grisham with two outs and nobody on, which cannot happen.
Right.
But they walked him twice, intentional, and then around him in the seventh.
But he did that, and it was kind of brilliant, because he did it to get the Volpe. And Volpe came up very small.
Yeah. Well, Anthony Volpe left the bases loaded twice in this game.
Yeah.
And then in another spot left a guy on third, and another spot left a guy on first. He left 8 guys on base, 5 of them in scoring position in yesterday's game. Look, you got to be strategic with Judge because he's a great player. But the truth is, the star players didn't make an impact.
Well, Judge had an impact Friday night. Let's not forget
Friday
happened.
Friday he did. And, well, the stars...
He didn't have a major impact. The impact was Cody Bellinger. He was the man this weekend.
See, that's the problem. Like, when you say the stars didn't, Cody Bellinger was the... He was part of the replacement of Soto.
Absolutely.
Right? Bellinger, Goldschmidt...
Max Fried, too.
Max Fried.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they've... all held their weight, especially as of late. I know Belly got off to a really tough start, but over the last, what is it, 7 games?
He's been ripping him.
13 games or whatever it is?
Yeah.
He's been great and hitting 350 or whatever the heck he's been hitting, plus the grand slam that really put the lid on top of the 2 out of 3 yesterday. So it was, I mean, Cody Bellinger
was the star of the weekend.
He's a star.
Absolutely.
He's not a superstar, but he's a star player.
Well, when I say superstars, I'm really talking about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. And they look, Judge made a bigger impact than Soto, but neither guy made a monster impact.
No.
And look, the plan B's worked for the Yankees in this series. And if we're going to rate this on like a weekly basis, plan B outdid Juan Soto. And I will raise my hand and give that to you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to throw in Trent as well.
Absolutely. Because, honestly, if they re-sign Juan Soto, there's a chance Trent Grisham is not even kept.
No,
they could have
right.
non-tendered his ass. He would have been gone. So, absolutely, you can include him. But last night, something really magical happened. And it has nothing to do with baseball, but it's related to this discussion. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the Toronto Maple Leafs got destroyed in a Game 7 against the Florida Panthers. Now, you may be asking, why am I bringing this up?
So did the Nuggets, by the way.
They did. That game was close, and it turned in like 2 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Wait, what?
But the reason I bring up the Toronto Maple Leafs losing to the Florida Panthers is not because of my sister being a Panther fan.
Yeah, it is.
No, it has nothing to do with them. Good for them. It has everything to do with Pajama Boy. Pajama Boy John Tavares couldn't get out of the second round again.
Mm.
His contract, remember when he left the Islanders? Remember when he was Judas and he stabbed him in the back? Like a real Judas, not a Juan Soto Judas,
right.
A real live-breathing John Tavares Judas. Mm. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, his contract's run out. It's over. And so now we can declare what happened. And I'll tell you what happened. The Islanders did better than Tavares. It's over. The book is closed. Winners, losers. Goodbye. The Islanders went to 2 conference finals. Semifinals 1 year because they named it different.
Mm-hmm.
And John Tavares in his dopey pajamas couldn't get out of the second round.
What a 7 years gone like that.
So 7 years, poof, it's all gone. And guess what? There's a winner. There's a loser. When it comes to Juan Soto, round one so far goes to the Yankees. No one can deny that.
Mm.
But you got 15 years to determine it. And I think when it's all said and done.
Go ahead.
When I think it's all said and done, I think the Mets will end off in a better place for signing Soto. And the Yankees, like, you guys will forget who replaced him in year one of a 15-year contract.
Well,
so we got to have patience.
Yeah, that's more my time, like my mindset on this, because I don't think that Cody Bellinger and Max Fried and even Trent Grisham and Cole Schmidt, I don't look at them as instead of Juan Soto.
For 1 year they are.
Yeah, but it's
next year it'll be somebody else.
But it's not like it wasn't a transaction. It was just Juan Soto left. He was a free agent.
But those are the guys you likely added because he was gone.
I know what you're saying, but you can look at it in a vacuum. And I tend to look at it more in a vacuum. Juan Soto's gone. This was my reasoning for turning your back on Juan Soto as opposed to booing him. Because when he left, you can't care. Stop trying to make it about you. When Juan Soto made it about his future and his life as a New York Met, it was no longer about you, the Yankee. All right, so when someone says, I don't care about you, you have to say, great, I don't care about you. So the Bleacher Creatures, thank you again for turning your back and showing that you don't care about Juan Soto. What the Yankees have to care about is what they're doing with themselves, regardless of Juan Soto.
Absolutely.
And so when Cody Bellinger comes and Max Fried is having the season he's having and Belly and Trent Grisham, the greatest 70s-looking baseball player you've ever seen in 2025, right? It makes it not about Juan Soto to me. So I can't even like really compare who won this offseason. It's more the Yankees did what they had to do. The Mets did what they had to do.
So let's get to then what really matters then. Tavares is a loser who lost.
Yeah.
And the Islanders, not lately, but overall, are the winners who won.
Yeah.
So let Judas Pajama Boy have his fun.
Yeah.
Where's he going to go as a free agent now?
Tavares made it about that.
That's right.
That's the difference. Soto didn't. It wasn't about the Yankees. It was about him wanting to go to the
Mets. Is he staying with the Leafs? Or is JT going to like go somewhere else with a new fantasy?
Let's ask the resident hockey guy.
Dude, they're probably blowing up the core. Is there a chance he comes back much cheaper? Stay home, yes. But they're not keeping him and the other guys. It's a great question. I don't know. The big name that nobody cares about is Mitch Marner. He could come here.
I don't care about that. Where's that loser pajama boy going?
34.
He's still kind of young.
I know.
Pajama boy could end up in Ottawa.
Imagine he ends up back with the Islanders after all this.
Crazy is like, a decade ago, you said someone's 34.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, they're washed.
It's a different world.
Now we're like, 34? Oh, he's got five more years.
It's not that bad.
It's crazy.
Not that bad. We will take our L's for the New York Knicks advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. Can you believe it? And Juan Soto's lack of hustle last night, let us all stand up, not turn our back, but just stand up and applaud Tiki Barber.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you, Bleacher Creatures. Some of people in the stadium booed, but I saw you, Bleacher Creatures. I saw you stand up when Juan Soto came out to right field, and you did what I told you to do. You turned around and looked at the back of the stadium and did nothing.
That's right.
At all. Thank you, Bleacher Creatures.
Excellent work by Tiki. He is not getting enough credit. You know, Gary Cohen didn't give him credit. Michael Kay didn't give him credit. Even Boomer this morning didn't give him credit. Keith McPherson not giving him credit. And that's okay, because the reality is we all know how and why that happened. Because for 2 months, Tiki Barber would take 30 seconds out of every freaking show. We weren't even talking about baseball. And Tiki would jam that baseball talking, as he's known to do.
Just the Soto talk. That's all I cared about.
And he got what he wanted.
If you know, you know, right? As the kids would do, YK.
Close enough.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
IYK. And really, the Yankee fans, I thought, did a mostly brilliant job over the weekend, because they did everything.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Sean on Friday. We were at the game Friday, and in his first at-bat, he did the turnaround like you suggested. In his second at-bat, now granted, the Mets were down 4-0, I think, at this point, but he stood up and cheered and said, "Thank you for the World Series, Juan!"
Good for you, Sean.
I did.
Got a couple heads turning around looking at me.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, why are you doing this? You're wearing a Yankee hat. Why are you cheering?
And then he followed it up by screaming at the top of his lungs, "Let's go Celtics," which was...
That was a nice icebreaker.
Just quite a spectacle.
Talk about an ass-kicking, but we'll get to that.
But Yankee fans, they chanted, "We have Grisham." Look, the F. Juan Soto stuff, I think, is classless. Like, I wouldn't go the curse route, but I thought overall the Yankee fans had a lot of fun with it. You know, there was even a sequence, I'm not sure if this was shown on TV, but Juan Soto threw a ball to the stands, into the crowd. I think it was the final out of an inning or whatever it was. And the crowd threw it back at him. I thought that was hysterical.
That's awesome.
And Juan even started the festivities off well on Friday night by doing the mock tipping of the hat, though. The problem was it was all downhill after that from Juan Soto.
Yeah. It did add, though. I mean, at least on Friday he got on base a lot.
He did.
He just walked.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think in the end he had a great throw home, too. That was a great moment Friday night. Good for Juan on that moment.
That was a terrible throw home. But he also threw to the wrong base last night, and luckily he didn't come back and kill him.
Right, missed the cutoff guy.
Yes.
I'll say this, if we could separate like the Met problem with Juan Soto and the Yankee fans having fun with it. The Subway Series is a fun spectacle every year. The Juan Soto thing added something this week, and haven't been to two or three games. It was a lot of fun, a lot of energy. It was great.
Here's the way I would look at it to back up your point about what it added. And I don't want any Yankee fan to take this the wrong way, though some of you will take this the wrong way. I have been to Subway Series since the beginning, 1997. And forever, it has always felt like it was bigger for us than it was for you. And this was the first time, obviously, because Soto left and joined the Mets. And whether you wanted him to go, or you're bitter, or you're over it, or whatever, wherever you fall on it, the Subway Series for the first time in my life mattered more for Yankee fans than it did for Met fans. And that's not me minimizing losing 2 out of 3. I'm not happy. I don't want anyone to think like, "Oh, Evan's just playing it off." No, I was pissed. I don't like losing 2 out of 3. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to anybody. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. I don't like leaving Yankee Stadium on a Sunday night with my 8-year-old. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. But it was the first time, to your point about the Subway Series, where it felt bigger for you. It just felt that way.
I think, look, I'm not going to get into a whole match on this. I just think the Yankee fan finally matched with the way the Met fan usually views this. I wouldn't say it necessarily meant more. I think it just meant a lot to both. It felt like a Yankee-Red Sox game to me. We sat there that first inning. The place was jumping. It was alive on Friday night, and it continued in the Sunday.
So you're admitting it mattered more to you, right?
No. I'm admitting now it finally mattered as much as it did to Met fans, which I thought were cool. I even saw, Evan, the scene yesterday. I'm walking up to the stadium. An 8-month pregnant woman with a F. Juan Soto shirt on. I mean, now does that say Subway Series in New York? That was great.
I think what you're trying to explain, and Tommy explained this to Jet and told him he should use this at school today, is that yesterday was what, Tommy?
Oh, let me be the first, Evan, to congratulate the Yankee fan for winning their World Series this weekend. See, it was your World Series, not ours. And it proves what I've been saying for months, that Big Brother in town, Met fan, didn't really care about the Subway Series. It was just another couple games in May where the Yankee fantique, it mattered.
Stop.
This was their World Series.
This is what you're telling yourself because you lost 2 out of 3.
Exactly.
I mean, I was in the building and I heard F. Juan Soto chants as I was leaving, not let's go Yankees.
Guys, it's not what Tommy's telling himself. It's what Tommy told Jet to say at school today. And I told Jet, listen, you do what you got to do.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't advise this, but Uncle Tommy is suggesting you do.
Here's why. When I looked at young Jed, and Jed is how old now, Ev?
8 years old.
8 years old. I saw a young Thomas Lugauer.
Oh, don't say
who
that.
Grew up in the 90s.
Jeez, God forbid.
And dealt with a Yankee dynasty. And I could just see he didn't know exactly what to do when he went to school. So I went, you know what, Jed? Say this. And his eyes lit up. I'm like, well, don't tell your mother that I said this, that Uncle Tommy said it. But if a Yankee fan steps to you and acts all tough, hit him with that and you'll disarm him.
And I have been told that is his plan today. And I will give you a full update tomorrow on how that goes in school. Now let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. We will address Juan Soto's lack of hustle coming up in the next 15 minutes. Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul? Hello, Paul.
Paul, what's up?
Paul going once. Paul is gone. We'll go to Carlo in North Brunswick, New Jersey. What's up, Carlo?
Okay. I root for the Mets, but I'm a Yankee fan. Now I'll tell you why. I root for all New York teams. I root for the Knicks, the Giants, the Rangers. When I was a kid, there were no Mets, so they were never my enemy.
Okay.
Makes sense.
My enemy was the Red Sox and the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
All right.
Not the Dodgers now.
Okay.
I'm 85 years old.
All right. Sounds
so
great.
Before the season started, I was hoping that he would go to the Mets because I know he wasn't going to go to the Yankees. Because they could not outbid Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen has a lot of money, and he doesn't depend on the Mets to make money.
Yes.
Steinbrenner, on the other hand, that's where he makes his money, Yankees. That's his paycheck.
All right.
So I knew he was not going to outbid for Soto.
All now, right. So what's your point?
I told my brother-in-law, all my brother-in-laws who are all Met fans, I was happy they got Soto. But don't expect too much. The guy is going to hit 285, and he's going to hit 30 home runs as a Met.
Okay, why did you expect
Mets
that?
Mets, you know, because where the Mets play is not Yankee Stadium.
I completely disagree with you. If he hits to left center, which he has done throughout his career, left center is a more hitter-friendly ballpark than Yankee Stadium. I don't want to hear about the ballpark.
Oh, wait, hold on.
The ballpark is not affecting him.
Hold on, Evan.
Yes.
Does this mean that Yankee Stadium ruined Juan Soto?
Well, maybe Carlo believes that.
Just,
I don't.
It just got me thinking about that.
But what evidence do you have for that?
Because he's not hitting because he's trying to pull the ball?
He wasn't doing that last year at Yankee Stadium, though. Like, the beauty of what he did last year is, he ended up hitting more home runs.
He crushed a couple into the second deck in right field.
But how many Yankee Stadium home runs did he benefit from last year? The answer is not really many.
No, you're right.
I don't think he could change his approach at all.
I'd have to go look at the Fangraphs thing and figure it out. But you're right. It felt like he was all over the ballpark.
The ballpark has not affected him. We're trying to figure out what it is. And maybe it's as simple as the pressure of the contract. And that's the easy one. That's the one I think most people will point towards. Not because of anything about Juan Soto, but because that's what happens with guys who get massive contracts, whether their name is Jason Giambi or their name is Carlos Beltran. It's happened a lot.
And it's accelerated because Juan Soto is the highest played player in all of New York sports. I mean, all American sports.
Yes. $765 million. Who else has that?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think per year, per everything. I mean, you'd have to go to, I don't know, some international soccer to find that. And it's probably the Saudi guys. But other than that, he's the highest played athlete.
So is that affecting him?
I mean, you can't help but think about it.
But what do you think?
Not even not think about it. It's probably not a daily thing. He's not waking up every day going, hey, I'm making $70 million this year. But it's just something you know.
I think we assumed that Juan Soto wasn't going to pull a Beltran or pull even a Lindor or pull a Teixeira early on or a Giambi early on. because he just experienced a year in New York in which you could argue he had more pressure because he was playing for the contract.
Yeah, but
and so I think that experience led us to believe, well, he's not going to go through your typical first year, first few months New York struggle.
But he also wasn't the guy, wasn't the man on that team. That was Judge. And he's kind of not even with the Mets, so that's not the... I can't even say that's the issue, because Lindor's the guy.
And wouldn't
and
you think
Alonso for the first part of the season has been the
but
guy?
But wouldn't you think playing to earn the money is more pressure than playing once you have the money?
Well, I mean, I remember when I was playing, guys. A lot of guys who get paid, they just would turn into different players.
Mm.
I
saw that with Muhammad Wilkerson. Right, it does happen.
Like, all right, you're good. You're not hungry anymore. But I don't think that's the case with Juan Soto. In fact, I know that's not the case with Juan Soto.
I think this is a fun group. I got to admit, that's why I'm bummed. I got to be honest. I know I'm the shill. I know I'm Mr. Yankee positive. I get it. Right? Even this morning, I was joking about, how Yankee fans, don't care. Oh, the only time they mention regular season games is when they lose them or they're trying to defend the 1980s and George Steinbrenner and Don Mattingly. That's the only time we care about regular season wins or regular season games. And we're all, still unhappy and bitter and we're complaining about everything. And it's just, it's obnoxious. Like, we never just enjoy. Like, we never just enjoy the year. Like, it's always, well, can they win the World Series? And if not, this team sucks and Brian Cashman sucks and this sucks and that sucks and we all suck and Aaron Boone sucks and this one sucks. Like, it's just such negativity around a franchise that's had so much positivity. Like, I guess that's just where I come off different. I'm not happy they haven't won the World Series since 2009. I'm not happy with every decision they make. I killed Boone on Saturday. I thought Boone had a terrible game. I would have bunted Vivas, and I would have pinch hit for Ascara with runner at third with an opportunity for a sacrifice fly to take the lead in that game. I was surprised he didn't do either of those things. I thought he had a bad game. But, I mean, the Yankees right now have the largest division lead in the sport. They've got a lineup that has as many above-average hitters in it than any other in baseball. Max Fried is a pleasure to watch and is an ace, and his pitching is, like, in his 9 starts, or 10 starts now, I believe, I don't know if Gerrit Cole has had a 10-start stretch as good as this. Like, this is how good he's been. This is how good he's been. Like, yeah, they've blown some leads late, and that always sucks to watch. And yeah, they're bad in extra innings, right? So there's been 3 games on the road, extra innings with futile offensive performances. So, like, of course, there's nothing perfect about them. They're not a perfect ball club. They have flaws. They have issues. So do the Mets. So do the Dodgers right now, who just got swept by the Angels. Like, nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to play a clean brand of baseball. Nobody's ideally built. Like, even the Dodgers aren't running away with things. They've had some injuries, but that's part of it. When you spend a lot of money on starting pitching, injuries occur. Like, everyone's going to, like, when the Yankees have, injuries to Giancarlo Stanton. No, well, when you sign older players and injury-prone players, you can't complain when they're injured. But nobody says that about the Dodgers when they traded for Glasnow and signed Snell, and they're both out for long, extended periods of time. Nobody says, well, that's what happens, Dodgers. Everyone just says, oh, the Dodgers are great. They won the World Series, so that's it. But, like, nobody's perfect. And the Yankees have some flaws, and so do the Mets. But both teams are really good. And both teams have been fun to watch, and I agree with you. This Yankee team has been fun to watch. I've enjoyed this season. They're younger. They're more athletic. They run the bases better. I still wish they would steal more. I was screaming last night. I don't know why on first. Like, try and steal a base with Dominguez. Like, they can run first to third. They can, beat out double plays much better than they have in years. Like, we have seen, they put pressure on the defense. Alonso has to make a good throw there. I don't think that was a no-brainer, but he has to put that ball right on the money if he's going to even make that play close, because Dominguez is a bullet. Like, I'm really having fun watching the Yankees, and I think the Mets are really good, too. The Mets have some issues, too. We can get it. We spent most of the time on the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan. They won the series, but mostly we've been talking Juan Soto with the Mets. The Mets have some issues, right? Right now, Vientos' defense, I thought Vientos kind of solved his issues defensively last year, or I don't know if solved is the right word, but he got to a point where I was confident in him, and this year, they're not. How could you be confident in his defense? I mean, right now, with Winker on the shelf And Marte hitting the way he's hitting, although he has a double in this game, he's hitting under 200. He's really struggled in his new role of kind of platoon part-time player. Like, I think Vientos, with the way Beatty is hitting and what we've seen defensively from Beatty is far superior to what we've seen from Vientos. Like, I think that's a discussion now of playing Beatty at third base and really playing a lot of Vientos at DH. I think that's probably something the Mets should look into. The starting pitching is great. Another David, Robertson was really, after giving up the two runs, and really it was built on the error on the first play of the game from Vientos. Then Judge hits the double down the line on really wasn't a hard hit ball, just placed perfectly on a kind of like fly ball that was just placed perfectly in the corner and lands for a double. And then he gives up the base hit to Bellinger. And from that point on, he absolutely shut down the Yankees. He absolutely shut down the Yankees. He had a really good start, six innings, two runs, had really a stretch there where the Yankees didn't do a lot at all. So they continue to pitch. They continue to have defensive struggles, and their offense right now is just like Soto is Soto, and we're seeing his struggles, and we've kind of talked about a lot of Soto. I'll continue to take your calls on Soto. But yeah, Pete Alonso's cooled off a little bit. Even Lindor really didn't have much of an impact in this series. He's cooled off a little bit. And when the two of them are going, it's one thing. But right now, yeah, this offense just isn't clicking. They've been bad with runners in scoring position. They're not scoring a ton of runs. And they made some key mistakes in these two games that helped the Yankees win this series. But I think this was, these are two really good teams. That's what we saw. And ultimately, the Mets move on to Boston. And quite honestly, the Yankees move on to a more important series against the Texas Rangers. Like, now that it's over, we have all this fun, all of its energy's built up, all the excitement. Now the game is over. As I'm watching the highlights, Pete Alonso throws the ball away. The Yankees get the third run. Vivas has the at-bat of the game. What an at-bat from Vivas. And, you know, there's a conversation we had about him and the, you know, the role players of this team and the bottom of the lineup of this team, especially against left-handed pitching. But he comes through with an incredible at-bat, gets that ground ball. They put pressure on Pete to make a good throw. He throws it away. And then the inning kind of unravels, and it ends with Bellinger hitting the grand slam. But all these games were played, you know, relatively well. All of them were pretty close, even though the two wins from the Yankees seem like rousing victories. 8-2 last night is a very misleading score. That's a tight ball game in the eighth inning. But a fun series, a lot of nonsense around Juan Soto, but ultimately two very good teams. Yankees take 2 of 3, prove they belong. I mean, that's why I think, like, as far as a Yankee fan, I would be happy. I think the Yankees proved over this stretch, like, they belong. Everyone talks about the American League being down, the National League's far better. Well, they've won 4 series in a row, and the bookends were taking 2 out of 3 from the San Diego Padres and 2 out of 3 from the Mets. I think the Yankees have proved they belong in any league. Like, we're going to get it from Anthony Volpe, too. And I want to talk about Anthony Volpe for a second. But, like, the overreaction to Juan Soto that we're getting, like, I get it. He's 1 for 10 in this series. He's not been good as a New York Met yet. He hasn't. I'm not trying to couch it. I'm a big OPS guy. He's got 8 home runs. 20 RBIs is really down for him. I'll be the first to admit 20 RBIs at this point in the season is really low. He hasn't hit with runners in scoring position. But he's getting on base despite the .246 average. He's got an .822 OPS. It's not Juan Soto, who finished with what, a .980 last year for the New York Yankees. But may we all slump like that, is my point. May we all slump to .822 OPSs. Or may every one of our favorite players slump to .822 OPSs. He's struggling. There's something not right with him. I'm not seeing as much shuffling, but I don't think the Mets are, you know, in the midst of the worst 15-year decision they've ever made or that anyone's ever made in professional sports. And let me get to Anthony Volpe for a second, because I want to have this conversation about Anthony Volpe. Because I got bombarded. Anthony Volpe had a miserable night. And if the Yankees had lost this game, Anthony Volpe would have been a major talking point. He would have been the guy who wore it. Right? If the Mets would have rallied late or scratched across a run there with against Jonathan Loaisiga, and the Yankees would have lost this game, he had 2 at-bats with the bases loaded that were awful, right? He gets off of a walk to load the bases earlier in the game, And he swings at the first pitch and hits a light ground ball to shortstop. Now, I'm different than most. I don't hate the idea of swinging at the first pitch off a walk, especially with two outs. If you get a fastball in the zone, because, listen, they want to get ahead. After walking a guy, the last thing you want to do is nibble again. If they come right at you with a fastball down the middle, I don't hate swinging at it. I know people get so mad at swinging at the first pitch off a walk. I don't love it necessarily, but that might be the best pitch you get all at bat. I don't have as big a problem with as some, but he does swing at the first pitch and hits a light ground ball, and then his second at bat with the bases loaded, where they really pitched around Judge and then Bellinger. Didn't throw anything to Bellinger, right? They pitched around Judge with the unintentional walk. Then they pretty much pitch around Bellinger, and you get Volpe up again, hitting fifth in this lineup, which we're going to get to in a second. And if he would have just stood there, he would have walked six different times. He swung at every, like, he was ahead 3-0, took a fastball strike, and then swung at everything. It was an awful at bat. He swung at three or four balls and fouled off a bunch before finally striking out. He was the GOAT of this game. But this is my point. We can never just have, we can never just say, man, what a miserable night for this player. We always have to break it down into they're terrible and what a disaster, and it's the worst contract, and he's a bum, and it's this. Like, Anthony Volpe, because immediately, like, a bunch of people, Alan in New Hyde Park, who was there, who calls in every once in a while, he immediately comes running to me. You can't hit Volpe fifth. You can't hit Volpe fifth. A million people are tweeting at me, what is Volpe doing hitting fifth? This, he's a bum. He's an embarrassment. He's this. He's that. Anthony Volpe, heading into the game, had an OPS of 1,000. 1.000 against left-handed pitching. He's got an OPS of 1,000 against left-handed pitching. You got Goldschmidt leading off. They're going lefty-righty, lefty-righty. You got Goldschmidt. You got Judge. Give me another right-handed at-bat that you prefer over Anthony Volpe. Let's just start there with hitting fifth against left-handed pitching. And someone actually had the balls. And please call in. I'd love to hear from you at 888-808-1019. Someone had the balls to tell me DJ LeMahieu. 3 days ago, DJ LeMahieu was an embarrassment to the franchise that he was still a part of the team. It was an embarrassment that they didn't just cut his ass. What are we doing with DJ LeMahieu again? He hits one home run and a couple of base hits, and suddenly he needs to be higher in the lineup than Anthony Volpe against left-handed starting pitching when Anthony Volpe has 1,000 OPS? And let's be fair about Anthony Volpe. He has not Bobby Witt Jr. And yes, he was said sort of, I mean, I think people thought Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be better, but he was, Bobby Witt Jr. was the second best prospect in baseball, and he was the sixth. He was right there in the conversation of Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, and he is nowhere near those players. I know Gunnar Henderson is part of a fledgling franchise right now, as they lost again and got swept by the Nationals, fired their manager, the embarrassment that is the Baltimore Orioles. And he's having a down year and wasn't great in the second half of last year. But still, he's not Gunnar Henderson. He's not Bobby Witt Jr. We get that. He's got a 740 OPS overall. He is a top 10 offensive, not just overall, he is a top 10 offensive shortstop in the game. We know what he is defensively. Listen, he's made a couple of key errors. I'm not going to deny that. Even last year in the ninth inning, he particularly had some bad blunders that cost Clay Holmes a lot. He was terrible behind Clay Holmes, and he's had some key errors this season, no doubt. But we see him. If you watch him play defense every day, he is a very good, with a lot of range. His arm strength was supposed to be an issue. It's a non-issue. He's a very good defensive shortstop. And he's a top 10. He's not a world beater. He's not a superstar. He's not even an all-star. But I'll tell you right now, Anthony Volpe, if he is what he's been defensively and he has a 750 OPS, you know what that is? That's the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees for the next 10 years. That's what that is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.